Okay, we're good? Okay. Tonight will be, Be'ez Hashem, part one of hopefully two shiurim regarding Tefillas Kelim. Hopefully tonight will be part one, and hopefully next Sunday will be part two. Same time, 8:30. Next Sunday, so hopefully we'll be able to finish it before Hanukkah, and we'll be able to have Tovot Kelim for Hanukkah. But let's see how much we could get done tonight. And again, so I will not read everything inside. Obviously, as we usually do, whatever you're more comfortable with, seeing it inside. But all the makaris are here in front of you for you to take home and look at your own pace, whatever we don't do inside. But hopefully tonight we'll get through at least half of the material. I'd like to start off with a story. About 8 years ago or so, my first year teaching in YU, so I was giving a shiur in Gemara, and Tefillas Kelim came up in Gemara. So it was a Thursday, and we spoke about some of the halachas. It just came up in a Gemara shiur as a side topic. And that Monday morning, a talmud of the shiur comes over to me. He's from a regular family and from family, goes to one of the, lives in the metropolitan area, lives in one of the big shuls, not in this neighborhood, in a different neighborhood. And he says, Rebbe, you're not going to believe where I was Friday morning. I said, where were you Friday morning? So he says, I came home on Thursday night and I told my mother about this idea of Tefillas Kelim. I never heard of it. And she says, really? I don't know. I mean, I'm going to have to call the rabbi of the shul because, I don't know, maybe it's a new chumrah of the young rabbanim, you know, coming up with Tefillas Kelim. So he says, no, it's before Shalacha. It's not a chumrah. It's not an extra din. So that Friday morning, he and his mother took their entire kitchen and went to the mikvah and tovled all of their kelim that had to be tovled. And it just made a strong impression on me in terms of somebody who's so ingrained in their ways and somebody who's, you know, most of the time, when we hear something new, we say, oh, okay, fine, no, I'm going to change. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to grow something new. So, but this was somebody, the mother, it's unbelievable. The mother was somebody who was ready to learn, ready to, when she heard something new, she was ready to change her tune and change her behavior and tovel the whole kitchen. So that's something that, to get us into the sugya, you know, we're always ready to grow in life, to learn new areas of halacha. So hopefully tonight we'll be able to at least, review or learn for the first time or, be mashlim, complete some of our knowledge that we have about this important topic of Tevilas Kelim. So the source of this halacha, and again, just to give you the structure of the different parts of the shiur so you know where to focus your questions. The first part we'll be talking about is the source and the background and the definitions and the general rules and regulations of Tevilas Kelim. Part two, which hopefully we'll also get to tonight, at least half of it, types of utensils, different materials, and we'll talk about disposable, we'll talk about cans and bottles and electric utensils. That'll be part two. Part three, which we will not get to tonight, is what is the definition of clay seuda? You know, what do you call clay? Is a peel or a clay seuda? You know, some things are clear. You have forks and knives, and as we'll get to. But not everything is clear. What if it's never used without a napkin? You know, we'll talk about all the details. Clay seuda. And then the last part will be preparing for the tefillah and the actual tefillah itself. How much do you have to scrape off the sticky stuff, you know, by the mikvah? How crazy do you have to get? That'll be in the last part of the shiur, preparing for the tefillah and the actual tefillah. Okay, but first, let us get into part one, which is probably the largest section, and that is the source of this mitzvah, as we will see, background and definitions. So the source is a pasuk in Parshas Matos, in source number one, where the Torah tells us, after Bnei Yisrael defeated Midian, and they captured all of the spoils from Midian, all of the possessions of Midian. Vayomer Elazar HaKohen Elanshi HaTzava Habarim L'Malchama. Elazar, Aaron had died. Elazar was the one who was given this mitzvah. Feel free. There are makaris right there. Elazar HaKohen says to the people in the army, Habarim L'Malchama that are coming to war, Zos Chukas HaTorah Sher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. The following is the law. This is what you have to follow. Ach es hazoha ve'es hakesef, es hanachoshes ve'es habarzel, es habedil ve'es haofares. Those are the six metals listed in the Torah. Right? Gold, silver, copper, barzel, iron, bedil, ofares, lead, tin. The six types of metals the Torah lists. The Torah tells you how to kasher them. Right? We get captured. You can't just go to a store in the midbar and buy new pots. So if you capture a nation, and you have all these pots from the nation, you want to use them. So the Torah tells you what to do. Kol hashadavar asher yavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'taher. Anything that goes in fire, you have to pass through fire in order to kasher it. Hopefully, sometime later in the year, we'll have a couple of shiurim regarding kashrus. We'll talk about how that relates to today's shiur. Vitaher, and it will be tahar. Anything that does not usually used in fire, but it's used in water, let's say boiling water. So that is, you kasher through boiling water. This is the topic, the pashtus of the pasuk is the topic, not for tonight's shiur, and that is how do you kasher something. You kasher something the same way you got treif. If it got treifed up with hot water, you could kasher it with hot water. If it got treifed up with a fire, on a barbecue, then you have to kasher it with a barbecue. So again, that's not the focus of tonight's shiur, as we will see in a minute. But that is the pashtus of the psukim. If the simple reading of the psukim does not mention anything about the halacha of tevilas kalim, which, as we'll see, is putting something in a cold mikvah. But the Gemara in source number 2 learns it out from one extra word in that pasuk. One extra word in the pasuk. The Gemara says in source number 2, after the Mishnah told me the halacha of kashering, of making something kosher, says the Gemara, Tana, v'kulon tzrichin tfilo ba'arba'im sa'ah. Besides any way that you have to kasher kalim that you get from a non-Jew where it has treif in it, you also have to dunk it in a mikvah of 40 sa'ah. In other words, the mitzvah of tevilas kalim, which is going to be learned out from a pasuk in a minute, has nothing to do with treif. The mitzvah of tevilas kalim does not mean that there's something not kosher inside this kli. There's a separate mitzvah d'oraisa, according to many, d'rabbanan, according to others, that anything that is made by any kli, any utensil, any food, meal utensil, we have to define all of this, any clay seuda that is made by a non-Jew, one has to add kedusha to it, sanctify it, by putting it into a mikvah. I know there's no treif in it. It's not treif, I don't have to kasher it. Kashering something, that is, I have this treif in here, I put my milchik fork into my burning hot hamburger, I treifed up my fork. So what do? I have to put that in boiling hot water. Mikvah's not going to help me there. To kasher something, mikvah's not going to help you. If something got treifed up on the barbecue, you have to blowtorch it. That's the site treif there. Tevilas kalim has nothing to do with it. Tevilas kalim does not, there's nothing treif about this. There's a separate mitzvah d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. Again, there's some type of mitzvah that chazal of the Torah made that you have to add special sanctity to any utensil that was made by a non-Jew before we use it. That's what the Gemara says. However you kasher it, the kulan srichin tefila barbam sa'ah. All kalim need to be dunked in a mikvah in 40 sa'ah. Minani mili, where do you know this from? I'm in the middle of source 2. Amar rava to amar kra, kol davar shayava ba'esh tavir ba'mayim vitaher. Anything that was trafed up with fire, you shall pass through fire vitaher, and it will be tahar. Hosif l'cha ha'kasif tahara acheres. That extra word vitaher, and it will become pure, is there to hint to me this mitzvah of tevilas kalim. And this is codified in Shulchan Aruch, in Surah number 3. Again, we're not going to focus on the details of the Shulchan Aruch now, but we'll just get the general idea. Hakone me'ovid kochavim, clay se'uda. If a Jew buys a clay se'uda, something that we'll have to define, from a non-Jew, shel mateches or shel zchuchis, metal, glass, kalim mitzupin be'ever, we'll get to that. Afal pi shehem chadashim, even though they're new. They were never used before. There's nothing treif about these kalim. Tzarech lad bilam b'mikvah o mayan shel arbam sa'ah. Got to put it in a mikvah of 40 sa'ah, which is the smallest size that a mikvah can be. That is the source of the mitzvah of tevilas kalim. And again, to emphasize, this is not to be confused with hag'alas kalim. Hag'alas kalim, well, hag'ala means boiling water. That's not tevilas kalim. Hag'alas kalim is to get a non-kosher taste out of a pot, out of a fork, out of a kli. That's hag'alas kalim. But this is not. That's to remove something. But this is a mitzvah of tevilas kalim to add kedusha. An easy way to see the difference between tevilas kalim and hag'alas kalim, we'll get back to this next week, and that is, you never make a bracha on doing something negative. Removing a negative, you never make a bracha. You don't make a bracha when you kasher something. Because what are you doing? You're just removing a treif taste. I'm not doing anything positive. You don't make a bracha on that. You make a bracha when you tovel something in the mikvah. because there you're being mosif kedusha. You're adding sanctity to this kli. I'm doing a mitzvah. You make a mitzvah, whether it's daraisa or whether it's rabbanan, you make a bracha on all mitzvos. So says the, that's just a reflection that you see, there's a big difference between tefillos kelim and agolos kelim. You don't make a bracha by mayim achronim. Why? Those who do mayim achronim. Because what's mayim achronim? It's to prevent me from putting this dangerous salt into my eye. At least originally that's what it was about. You make a bracha on tefillos yadayim at the beginning of the meal, because that's adding kedusha to my hands. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to wash my hands before I eat bread. But at the end of the meal, mayim achronim, that's just preventing something. So I'm not gonna make a bracha on that. So that's just an easy way to see the difference between tefillas kelim and hagolas kelim. Tefillas kelim is adding kedusha, while hagolas kelim or kashering, that is removing of a problem. And that's why there is no bracha. And just to round out the introduction, and again, we didn't get to halacha yet, but remember, when we get into the halacha, feel free to ask questions. I don't like monologues. In source number 4, says Rabbi Forst, in Pischa Halacha, his sefer on Hilchas Kashrus, Kishem, and again, we have to see, it's always nice to see halachas. Sometimes we get caught in nitty-gritty, have to tovel it, oh, the details, to realize the message behind the mitzvahs as well. Says the Rabbi Forrest, Kishem she'evdilanu Hashem yizbarach l'kdusha so b'mizonoseinu, just like Hashem separated us from all the other nations of the world in terms of what we eat, in terms of the food we eat, al yedei she'asar lanu ma'acholas asuros ha'pogmos b'nafshenu, through the fact that he forbade certain foods that have a negative impact on our neshama, v'hiter lanu rak ma'acholim ha'ru'uyim la'anshei kodesh b'shar sekel, and he only allowed foods that he deemed fit for a holy nation. Foods that were not fit for a holy nation, he asered. So just like he sanctified us in our food, he also sanctified us in the utensils we used to eat that food. Kein sivanu Hashem yizbarach shegama kelim shebehem machinim es ha'ochel. Also the kelim that we used to prepare that special food, tzrichim kedusha yisera. Toveling isn't just a headache when somebody's engaged. Toveling isn't just something that... Toveling is a mitzvah to be mosif kedusha, to sanctify our kitchen. We sanctify our kitchen by buying special products. We sanctify our kitchen by being mosif, by putting these kelim into a mikvah before we use them. Lachein kli ochel hanikachim en anachri. That's why any food kli that is bought from a non-Jew, tzrichim tefila kadei sheyesu mitumas nachri v'ikantzu l'kedusha z'lashi Yisrael, to be mosif kedusha. And look what he even compares it to. Dugmas ger, like a convert. Like a convert. How do you become fully kadosh? Going into a mikvah. That's the knisa l'mikvah, right? And mikvah is a lot of symbolism. We discussed this a couple of years ago in the Taras Mishpacha Shirim. A mikvah symbolizes a rebirth, symbolizes a new beginning. So too these kelim. We want these kelim to have a new beginning. So that's how we see that's the mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim. And then he talks in the continuation, we're not going to read it, about you learn what you learn from the Midyan story. You have to kasher it, you have to tovel it, you have to get if it's it, in those days they had tum and tara. We don't have tum and tara. You might have to wait seven days if it was in the context of a mace. Okay. So that is the background. Okay. So now again, just general rules and regulations of the mitzvah. Using a kli without toveling it is aser, even once. It's misconception number one in Tfilas Kelim. Right? Oh, I can use it once. No, I can't use it once. Not even once. This misconception probably came about from what we're going to talk about maybe later, probably the beginning of next year, and that is disposable. Whether disposable, you know, those tin pans, whether you have to tovel them. We'll talk about that next week. But, as we'll see, there are major poskim that say one does not have to tovel them, even if you can use them more, because they're made to only use once, so probably come from there, oh, you only use it once, probably that's where it came from. But the halacha is that you can't use it once. You can't use it once without toveling it. Says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 5, the Ramah, actually, Asur leish tamish bo letzarchei se'uda. One is not allowed to, turning over, middle of the second page. Asur l'shtamish bol tzarchei suuda. It's asur to use kalim for a suuda, afilu derech arai, even in a temporary nature, meaning even once, below tefila, right, without tefila, right? Using it once, even once, is not allowed. And just to add to this, the Chachmas Adam, or the author of the Chai Adam, in Surah 7:6 says, even if you used it 1,000 times, the chi of never disappeared. I've used it 1,000 times. Great, I finished already. I've used it 1,000 times. I still tovel it. Yes, it never goes away. The chiyuv never goes away. So the Chacham Adam says, if I learn about Hilchos Tefilas Kelim later in life, like the story we started off with, so you do it then. You do it then. In Nishtamish Bekli Kodim Shetavlu, source number 6, right? Lo Nasser Amaycho, we'll get back to that in a minute. Mikol Makom, Afilu Bisha Bo Mea Pa'amim, Sorach Litvoso. Even if you used it 100 times, you still must tovel it. The chiyuv never disappears. But, as what we just mentioned, we just skipped over it, but we'll go back to that. The food never becomes treif if it was cooked in a non-toveled kli. This is different than what we discussed about 5 years ago, Bishul Akum. By Bishul Akum, there are certain opinions that generally we try to hold of that the food becomes treif if it was a Bishul Akum case, if they have all the conditions that we spoke about then. But by Tfilas Kalim, the food does not become usur. If you cooked, you had it, then you put it away on the side, it got mixed back in, and then you used it. Whatever it is, so that the food does not become usur. That's what we just skipped that in the Chachmas Adam, but you have it in the Ramah earlier in source number 7. Vim avar v'hishtamish b'kli below tvila. If somebody went and used the kli without toveling it, lo ne'asar mashin hishtamish bo. What the food that was in it does not become usur. V'yitzbalenu od and just tovel it the next time. And you can eat the food. You can eat the food. Not a problem with even though it wasn't toveled. Okay. Next rule also comes up. What if there's a mix-up? You know, I had it on the side. I meant to tovel it. It's on the side. You have the separate things that got trafed up and things that weren't toveled yet. So generally, it's a good idea to leave it in the car. Don't bring it into the house. If something's trafed up, you can't take it out to the car. You just put it on the side. You have a separate thing that every once in a while you go and you kosher things. But let's say something got mixed up. I brought it into the house and... You know, it was a dish, it was silverware, I bought another set of silverware, it matches the old silverware, and they all got mixed up. So do I have to now total everything? Or is there something that's called bitzel, which we're going to talk about? Nullified. Something is bitzel barov, it was nullified in the majority. I know most of my stuff was toveled. Let's say something got mixed up. So there are some, there in this mixture, there are some kelim that were toveled, some kelim that were not toveled. So do I have to worry about it? So the Shulchan Aruch, in source number 9, might relate to us, might, as you'll see, Kli Shenasar Biblias Isser, Shenis Ariv Ba'acherim Be'ino Nikar. The Shulchan Aruch says, let's say you have a utensil that became treif. Forget not toveled. That became treif. That got mixed up. This comes up a lot, right? I put it on the side, and then it got put back into the drawer. What do you do? The Shulchan Aruch says, Batel Barov Ve'ein Donanoso Kedavar Sheish Lamatirin. The Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to worry about it. It was nullified. Batel Barov. Again, we have to talk more about this in the Kashra Shiurim, hopefully later in the year. Batel Barov, the ain't done in Oso Kadavish Yishlam Atirin. You don't treat it as something that, hey, there's a way to make it mutter, so why rely on the nullifying process? Just take all of them. Just take all of them. You don't say that. You can rely on what's called bitl nullification. Why? The Rama adds, Lafishet Sarech Lahotzi Alav Hotzos Lahagilo. Because you got to take your whole kitchen, the whole silverware, and bring it to kasher it. They didn't do it on the stove in those days. They have to bring it out to the big cauldron in the middle of the town square. It's a big headache. So, if bitl happens, nullification occurred, so don't worry about it. You don't have to kasher it if it's a big tirch. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in this case. Do we rely on that Shulchan Aruch, though? Not 100% clear. The poskim seem to say, again, we're not going to read this inside, but feel free to look at it. I gave you a tshuva of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in source number 10, in the Har Tzvi, one of the Gedolim from the early 1900s, where he says it seems better that you should tovel. If it's not so big of a tircha, just tovel the whole bunch and do it without a bracha, though. Without a bracha, because again, whenever there's a suffix about making a bracha, we do it without a bracha. But, you know, you should tovel it, because it's not such a tircha in our day and age. Maybe in the times of the Shulchan Aruch it was a big tircha, but now, so what are we going to do? We're going to throw all of our silverware into our boiling hot water on the stove? Okay, it's not such a big deal. It'll take us half an hour. Not such a big deal to kasher the something that was nullified, so therefore, it's better too. But again, not to make a bracha. This case doesn't come up so much because most of the time, as I said, it's in the car, if it's not toveled.
I thought we don't make a bracha for kashering.
By kashering, you don't. I'm saying, by toveling. So by toveling. Even if the Har Tzvi is about the toveling case, You never make a bracha by kashering, correct? But even by tovaling it, in this case, you would not make a bracha because you're not really sure. Maybe bittel, maybe nullification took place, but one should tovel it in that case. Okay, next point. The halacha of tefilas kelim only applies if I buy a kli from a non-Jew. But if I rent or borrow a kli from a non-Jew, so then that does not require kashering. That does not require tefillah. Obviously, if it's treif, it's treif. But it does not require tefillah. Let's say you work in an office, and they got, the non-Jewish owners of the company, got special kosher kelim. Right, they brought kelim for the coffee and the little kitchen in the office, and there's the non-kosher area and the kosher area. So the Jew's going to be using these kelim. So does he have to go and kasher these kelim? They don't belong to you. They belong to the company. They belong to the non-Jewish owners of the company. Does he have to worry about toveling them? So the halacha is no. The halacha is no. If it's not the Jews, if it's the non-Jews and I'm just using it, so then there is no halacha of a tefilas kelim. Says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 11. Hashoel osocher kli me'avodas galilim. If I borrow or rent a kli, eino ton tefila. Does not require tefila. I mentioned this in the, I gave this a couple of months ago, I spoke about this in the men's shiurim. But let's say another case that might come up. Again, this is shocking, but it's halacha. With a minhag, somebody says not to do this. Let's say you, go somewhere and you're renting an apartment somewhere, and they have bowls in the cupboard. So what do? The minhag of Chal Yisrael, you bring your plastic and you bring the dish. You don't touch anything in there. May ikar hadin. If everything's cold and it's clean, let's say there's a metal cereal bowl. Usually not. Let's say there's a metal cereal bowl. Are you allowed to use that metal cereal bowl for cereal and milk in the morning? Let me use it. You look at it, it's clean. Okay, you give it a rinse. You give it a rinse, are you allowed to use that? You forgot to bring plastic bowls. You want your cereal in the morning. So are you allowed to use that bowl? What do you say? You allowed to use it? Allah says yes. Even if pig was cooked in this bowl, it's all cold. There's no taste transfer if something's cold. I could have my cereal and milk in there. Okay, not the topic of a separate shiur. But either way, do I have to tovel it? You know, Allah says no, it doesn't belong to you. Halacha tefilas kelim, at least for tonight's shiur, is tefilas kelim. There is no mitzvah tefilas kelim if it doesn't belong to me. Only if I bought it from a non-Jew, if it's borrowed or it's rented, I do not have to tovel it. But continues the Shulchan Aruch, avalam Yisrael k'nomi over kochavim v'shtilu v'chaveiro. If one Jew, if Reuven bought it and before he toveled it, he gave it to Shimon to borrow, then you have to tovel it. Just because Shimon, but now it's owned by a Jew. If Reuven bought it, so he has to tovel it. Then he's going to give it to Shimon. But then ton tefilah shekvar nischayav biyad rishon. So then he would have to tovel it. So this might come in handy in the following case. Again, it could come up this case. Let's say it's Shabbos, and you bought something. You're having guests on Shabbos. You bought a special fancy, you know, dish, and you just went to the shiur and you heard you can't even use it once. I always thought I could rely on that kula. Now I know I can't, and I want to use this Shabbos afternoon. I'm having these guests. I want to use this glass trip. What do I do? Why? What's the problem? So you can't run to the mikvah. You can't run to the mikvah on Shabbos. Even if you could run to the mikvah. Why? Even go into the mikvah. If you look in the old, if you do some of those excavations in Yerushalayim, all the houses near the Kotel, they all had mikvahs in the houses. Why? Because who lived there? The Kohanim lived there. You have to have a mikvah in your house if you're a Kohen. Got to have a mikvah in your house. You have truma in the house and you become tameh. Got to have a mikvah. Oh, it's constantly. People always go to the mikvah. Men, women, everybody's going to the mikvah in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So you had mikvahs in the house. But the halacha is that you can't tovel something on Shabbos because that's fixing it. That's fixing it. That's tikkun. At least on a Durabanan level. You can't tovel something on Shabbos. So the question is, you know, so what do you do? Let's say you're stuck. You want to use this dish on Shabbos. So you have any option? What are you supposed to do? It says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 12. Im shachach v'lo hitbo kli me'erev Shabbos or me'erev Yantiv. Let's say it's right before Shabbos. And you don't have time to go to the mikvah. We'll get to what happens on Shabbos. Easy answer. Let's say you have non-Jewish help in the house. Give it to them. It's yours. It's yours. Can I borrow it? That's it, the Shulchan Aruch says. Give it to them. Give it to them, then they can have it. They don't know why you're giving it to them. You own it now. Yitznenu lo v'kachavim b'matana. Give it to the Najib b'matana. V'yachar kach yishalenu mimenu. U'mutulish tamishbo. No problem. That would be okay. The Mefarshim say that Taz says, don't do this on a permanent basis, because if you use it permanently and it's always, after Shabbos, get it back. But either way, that is an option that you have, just using this idea of something not being only if it's yours, but if it's not yours, then it is okay. There was a question, yeah. So it's a real sale.
But isn't there...
It's a bona fide... They might know that in a week I'm going to ask them to buy it back. But it is 100% sale. We go through about 10 different kinyanim with the non-Jew. We shake their hands. We give them money. We give them a shtar. Because we want to make sure people know it's a bona fide... We write down on the shtar where the keys are. Somebody's going away. So what? Yeah, I mean, if he wanted, any of those non-Jews wanted to come in and take your chametz, they do. They have the right. If you lock it up and you don't tell anybody, the sale's probably not good. Could be not good, because if you have no intention, it's a serious issue. But this is the Minhag Yisrael. Okay, where else might this? Yeah. So if you go into Oh Nuts, so I think Oh Nuts, past couple of months or years, they've had more plastic than glass, because of the tefillah issue. But if it's glass, you have to know, is it tovah? Do they tovah their stuff beforehand? I'm saying so. Do they tovah their kelim? I don't know. They're under the vad, right? So I don't know if the vad takes care of that. I'm on the vad. Sorry. Like we said, the food never becomes treif. So if you get first, you have to call. I don't know the messias. You have to call. Yeah. Right. We're going to get to at the end. What if you buy a dish? So you want to, let's say, tovel it for the person. Right. But we're going to get to, maybe it's better because it's not yours yet. So maybe you shouldn't tovel. You should wait for them. So we're going to get to what the best thing to do is. We're going to get to that in the probably next week's shiur. But again, if you get something like that, then you should. I mean, we're going to relate to it a little bit, but lechatchila, take it out. No, a bottle, that's disposable. We're going to talk about disposable. If it's grape juice, fine. But that we're going to get to disposable items. But a glass bowl with jelly beans in it, that's not disposable. That's meant to stay. Right, that's meant to stay. So we're gonna relate a little bit to it now, but we'll talk more about it. Before next week's shiur, I'll try to call up this week. You can call up too. I don't want to get him in trouble. Yeah. We're gonna get to what if you have a basket? They always put a doily in before you fight. So we're gonna see that doesn't matter. That doesn't help, as we're gonna see. If it can be used without it. But this issue of only having to be yours, having the chiyuv on it, does come up elsewhere. What if you are invited to somebody's house and you are not sure, but you have a pretty good feeling that they did not tovel their dishes? Are you allowed to accept the invitation? What if you're there already? Or let's say a restaurant. You know, a restaurant, if the restaurant is owned by a non-Jew, not a question, it's the non-Jew's ownership. But if it's owned by a Jew, so many restaurants, kosher restaurants, they tovel all the dishes before. You got to tovel the dishes. But if they don't, so what do you do? So this is a big discussion in the post-Gemara in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Avadya Yosef has a big shuva about this in Source 16. Ha'um she'ela, im mutter le'echov lishtos bebate ha'aracha, o bekioskim kesherim. Right, you go to a kiosk. So is there any heter to eat on these kalim, which were not tova? So Rav Avadya has we're going to see three or four different opinions here. So each one of them is makel. Can't rely on all the kulas. Again, this is all in a bidyeva situation. Have different svaras, which case you can be makel in. Rav Avadya says, maybe there's a kula based on a Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, I think I gave you this Shulchan Aruch inside. Where is the Shulchan Aruch? Kuf Chaf Sif Ches. Did I give this to you earlier? Kuf Chaf Sif Ches. Yeah, I gave it to you earlier in Source 11. We'll come back to Rav Avadya in a minute. In Source 11, the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person buys kalim from a non-Jew, not for the purpose to use, but for the purpose of business. I buy them for a business. I'm going to use them for my business. I'm not going to use them to myself to eat them, or I'm going to use them. Let's say I buy a knife to be a letter opener, something like that. I don't buy it to be a clay seuda. So says the Shulchan Aruch in source 11, the second half. Yesh mi sheomer shem lo lachu harishon letzarach seuda el lach toch klafim v'chayotzei bo ein tzarach ladvila. I bought it to cut something else, not a food item. So then you don't have to be tovel it. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, Lachto Klafim, you bought it for some other purpose. Says Rav Avadya, what if you bought it for business, but the business is food? So the Shulchan Aruch is not 100% clear about that. If you bought it for business, you're not going to use it for food. Nothing to talk about. But what if, like a restaurant owner, he bought it for, he's not going to use it, he bought it for his business. It happens to be his business, his restaurants. So says Rav Avadya, maybe one can be mako because of that. The owner has no chiyuv to tovel it because he bought it for business. And it's not yours. The owner didn't have any chiyuv, so you're not doing anything wrong. Look where it's underlined in line 16. Now we're back to source 16, line 16. Me'ata nirep, shebal mis'ada, sha'akelim she'mishtamish behim l'tzorech ha'lakucha shelo. Since the owner of the restaurant bought it for his customers, nechshav hadavar k'mi shekana osam l'schora, it's as if he bought it for business. So when you eat there, you're borrowing it. You're renting it. And therefore, there's no problem to use it without tevila. The Baraki Tshuva also writes, he writes that the minhag is to buy drinks by the kiosk owner, Shlohit Bokelav, and you don't have to worry because he bought it with Tzorech Mischar for business. Again, this is a big chiddush by Rav Avadya Yosef, because first of all, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even quote the Lischor line. He doesn't quote the Heter. He says if you bought it for a different purpose. The Beis Yosef, the same author of the Shulchan Aruch, talks about it, but it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. That's Chiddush number one. The Shulchan Aruch didn't even quote this Heter of doing it for business. Number two, you might have said, bought it for business when it's a non-food business. He says, even if it's for a food business. But either way, this is a Heter that he has. If you're in a restaurant, and you realize, you know, you already ordered, you already have the food, or if you have a choice before going to a restaurant, you check out. If it has a good hashgachas, then you could assume that the vad is or the vads of that community, the kashrus, will take care of it. But if you know not, if you know that it wasn't done, so Rav Avadya Yosef says you still have the heter. But in this shuva, therefore, if you're eating in somebody else's house, this heter doesn't work. According to this svara, there's no heter of eating somebody else if you're in somebody else's house and you know they didn't tovel their kalim. There's no heter. According to this, the only heter here is because the person bought it for a business venture. But if he bought it to use for personal use, and you're going to go to his house, says Rav Avadya, I don't see a heter there. And that's what he says, turning over the page at the end of that tshuva. He says, I'll matter the restaurants, but I'm not going to matter the houses. Bisikum, at the end of his tshuva, line 22, Mutr lecho v'lishos b'kiosko b'misada, you can eat in a restaurant, u'bati arachak sheirin v'afilu kishayodin b'birur, even if you know for sure that they didn't tovel, he even goes a step further, that the owner of the restaurant, let's say he wants to tovel them, he should do it without a bracha, because maybe he has no chiyuv to tovel them. So it's, he just goes that far, that maybe the owner doesn't have to tovel them. But then he says, if ulam, line 24, hamasareach bebeso shel chavero, if you're in your friend's house, v'yodeish lo hitvel sakelim, and you know he didn't tovel his kelim atun in tefila, asur lo lecho v'lishos bekelev ashiyat bilei. It's asur. It's usher to eat and drink your kelim until you tovel them. Because they brought them to eat. Again, this is a very serious shaila. I had a Talmud come over to me last year. He says, in my house, my kelim aren't toveled. And his parents aren't interested. Not like the first story. He says, I don't know what to do. He says, eat plastic. And we'll get to one of the two other hetayrim here. It's very hard. Your own house. What do you do? You know, there's kibbutz of aim issues. And so, but again, this is a serious, serious issue. But this is one heter about a restaurant. Yeah. But it's only if the Jew had a chiyuv. If the original Jew had a chiyuv to do it, then if that chiyuv didn't disappear, therefore you can't eat it without doing it. But if that Jew who bought it has no chiyuv, then you don't get a new chiyuv once you're borrowing or renting it. Yeah. Right. So we'll get the stickers. We'll get to.
Maybe they
correct. Maybe they right. So if it's a suffix, I think there is, well, we'll get to Rav Moshe in a minute, what he says. Glass is a chiyuv, but it's the drabanan. That's for sure a drabanan, even though the rest is daraisa. So something drabanan, it might be better. We might have more kulas by glass. What about kulas by glass? Even though glass, that's another misconception. We'll get to it later. Some people think glass, you don't have to tovel. Or you don't make a bracha by glass. That's both wrong. Yeah. So again, the food doesn't become usser. We said the food doesn't become usser. Right? Let's say, you could assume, hopefully, that people know about it, but let's say you find out afterwards the food doesn't become usser if it was cooked in a non-tovel kli. Question? Yeah. So far, so far, we said you're not allowed to. According to Rav Avadia, according to this, you wouldn't be able to.
Why?
Because the food doesn't become usser, but you are using non-tovel dishes. You're not allowed to use non-tovel dishes where there was a chiyuv to tovel them. Okay, are there any other heterim? So there is a shita of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe in source 18 does not talk about restaurants, but he has the following chilik. He's machalik between solids and liquids. Rav Moshe writes in source 18, by solids, you don't really need the plate. You could eat the chicken on the table also. It won't be derech eretz. But at least theoretically, you're not really using the plate. You're using the plate, you could just as much use the table. You're using the bowl for the soup. You can't have soup on the table. So says Rav Moshe, in this bidyevet situation, skip the soup and eat the solids. If you're already in the situation, you want to embarrass them, etc. Says Rav Moshe, that's what you could do. Source 18. For ochel b'malon, hotel, o b'misada v'chadome, she'ein tovon kalehem, v'nasu l'vanav chatichos basar v'chadome, they put in front of you a piece of steak, v'nochel l'agabi kli matchis o schuchis, it's on metal or glass, v'nin srichos l'etzam ha'kli, you don't really need the kli, v'nin mishtam shemol l'sorach achilo, you don't really use it, av shegam kli shem mishtam shemol l'dvarim yaveshim, still it's a kli seuda and it does need tefillah. But in this situation, kivan she'ein ha'michel nesar, since, as we said, the food doesn't become usser, yesh lahatir b'sha'as ha'tchach, lito misham b'yadayim, o b'davar she'ein sorach tefillah v'lechol. Says, look, that's what you could do, rely on b'sha'as ha'tchach. But, av ha'bakam she'ha'michel tzorach l'ha'kli, kagon marak, u'machalam lachim, right, liquid foods, so usser l'echol imenu, so then that is Rav Moshe's chilek. Again, nothing to do with restaurants versus home. So this chilek applies, Bain be restaurant, Bain be home, but it's a chumra and a kula, right? No liquids, but you could have solids. That's Rav Moshe's kula in terms of eating in somebody's house. There is one other heter as well that Rav Shlomo Zalman has in source 19, and that is Rav Shlomo Zalman says, "What is using a kli? When you use a kli, what is using a kli?" And again, this is all b'dievet situations. L'chatchila, you're supposed to, have tovel arkelim. But let's say it's your neighbor, and they keep inviting you, and it's just not shy off to, like, you know, there's an idea of filas kelim, you know, you're not the rabbi, you can't really, like, so we try, but let's say there's a situation where you have to, like, eat at their house. So, you know, they're kosher, you know, they're, so, you know, you've been there 3 years already, you come up with all the excuses, and you have to eat there. So what do you do? So we also believe in kavod abrius. That's also a din daraisa. You know, v'hatlorecha kamocha. So what do you do? So these heterim are for those kind of situations. So Shlomo Zalman again says, Lor kosvi kozeh heirani meyagon Rav Shlomo Zalman oyer bach shlita. That's all. The hagam shehotza meyakli chashiv hishtamshus. You're right. Taking something out of a kli is called using it. Aval kshu rak motzi es amachal asher kranitan lo efshe lohakel. Maybe putting something into a kli and then taking it out of a kli, that's using it. I put something onto a plate, I take it off a plate. But let's say something is put in front of me already on the plate. And all I'm doing is taking a piece, something off of that plate into my mouth. Is that using the plate? I'm removing something from the plate. Is that using the plate? Maybe that's not called using the plate. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, maybe in this type of circumstance, maybe if they give you a plate, don't put stuff on the plate. You shouldn't take stuff from the serving plate. But if there's a way that they serve you already, so you didn't do it, so again, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, maybe I could think of, that's also not called using a kli that wasn't tovelt. Because you're just removing it from the plate. You're not really using it. So again, that is another That is another idea. Ava lo yishtamish bekafu mazle, but you can't use the fork or the knife, because that's really using. So again, if it's French fries, I don't know, French fries, finger food, right? So it's so again, these are all we're trying to be matzdik what the case is. Again, these are all some hetterim. Okay, there is a tshuva. I didn't even give it to you. I didn't focus that. It's a tshuva of the Beis Avi. It was one of the Gedolim from 50, 60 years ago, where he says that maybe, I think what was suggested before, maybe you don't really own it and you're not really borrowing it. Trying to come up with a heter of, even if it's mamish not tovel, to use it normally. Again, that's in like the case I mentioned before. Like, let's say it's a child in a parent's house, and they have to live there for the next 5 years. And what are you going to do? And the parents aren't changing, so he's not going to be able to eat in his parents' house. So in these types of situations, maybe we could try to come up with a heter that's even stronger, that to eat on regular because it's not yours, and it's... But again, in general, we try not to rely on such strong heterim in these situations. Okay. Next, we're going to skip source 21, and we're going to go to the next source 22. What about a non-frum Jew? In every area of halacha, you have to ask, does the non-frum Jew have the status of a Jew or not? In a certain area, in Hilchas Shechita, in Hilchas Ne'emanus, in every area of halacha, you have to ask, Bishalakum, what's the halacha? Does his kelim, let's say a non-frum Jew, makes a kli, so does that require tevila or not? This is very halacha l'maisa. Because most of the time, when you see something made in Israel, right? Doesn't need tefillah. What's that? All the whole factory is from? Rove of the factories, I would say, are not. This is very important to know what's the halacha. So the halacha is, as the minhag is, source 22, Yisrael Mumar. That's a different halacha. The halacha is, and I didn't give you a source for this. The halacha is that no tefillah is required. I think it's considered a Jew in this regard, and therefore, if a non-frum Jew makes a kli, no tevila is required. Based on this source in source 22, which is not about tefilas kalim, but it's just in Hilchas Geirus. Yisrael Mumer Sha'asa Tshuva. Let's say you have a Jew who came back to the fold. Let's say he was a Tino Shanishba and a Baal Tshuva. Ein Tzorach Litvol. He's Jewish, he doesn't have to do tefila. But the Shulchan Aruch says, "Bidur Rabbana Yish Litbo the Kabbalah of Divrei Chaveiros Bifnei Gimel." It's a key. It's a nice idea for somebody who comes back to Frumkai to go to the mikvah. But there's a nochiyuv. Make it right. And he's Jewish. He's Jewish. So to hear the poskim say that if a mumar, if a heretic makes a kli, he is still considered Jewish. And that's why Rav Moshe writes in source 23 that if you have a kli that says made in Israel, it does not require tevila. Says Rav Moshe, source 23. Ubedvar kelim sheish safek shemenasu befactory shel Yisrael. If you have a safek in general where it was made, so a little below bracha. If you have something that says made in China, maybe there's a Jew in China that's making it. No, if it's a real safek, you have to, right? Yeah, you have to worry about it. China, the majority is not. That's why you would be tovel even with a bracha. But if you have a real safek, then you can make it without a bracha. V'meim kleis chuchis shakot vazim yidir abanin yishbakam lahakel. Let's skip this. Let's get to the line that I wanted to read. Line 6. V'habon me eretz Yisrael ein tzarach litpol klal. Any kli, any kos, any challah knife that comes from Israel does not require tefillah. Ki kulam shel Yisrael. V'af im mi factory shel avar yonim u'machalalei shabbosos. Even if it comes from a factory where most of them are Rachman al Islam Machal Shabbos, Nami Ain Tsrichan Tfilah. That does not require tefillah. For this halacha, non-frum Jews are considered Jews. Okay? That was a question? No. Next, I have three more of the general points. Interesting question. It's amazing that this is not recorded anywhere in Shas and the Rishonim or the Shulchan Aruch. Does a gerer have to tovel his kelim? Think about it. He became Jewish. Now his kelim were always his. They were always his. But now he has to jump into mikvah. But does he have to tovel his kelim? So again, this is not the most pertinent. He might want to get is he has to kasher them. So when we say kashering them, you might as well tovel them. But so that's a discussion, and it's just an interesting discussion in the poskim that maybe yes, because it's being mimosif kedusha, or maybe no. What was the din if you buy from a non-Jew? But if it's yours, it's been yours, and it's always yours, so maybe there was never such a din that was enacted, or from the daraisa that was related to this. If that ever comes up, you could ask. But that's a discussion in the Darki Tshuva discusses this. I give you the Darki Tshuva. I gave it to you in source 25. Yeah, gave that to you. Okay. Shulchan Aruch in source 26. Shulchan Aruch in source 26. Back page. Yisrael Shemachar Kli Lo V'Kochavim. Let's say a Jew had a Kli. Toveld, wonderful Kli. And I sold my Kli to a non-Jew. V'chazav Alachem Imenu. And then I bought it back from him. Tzarech Tevila. Says the Shulchan Aruch, because not only if a Jew made it, but even if a non-Jew made it, if a non-Jew owned it at a certain time, and then you brought it back, again, you have to be Mosif Kedusha. If it was just a mashkon, if it was collateral, you don't have to. But if they owned it, then you have to tovel it again. This is why, this is very important Shulchan Aruch. Why is it important Shulchan Aruch? This is why, when we sell our chametz on Erev Pesach, we don't sell the dishes in our kitchen. We sell the chametz on the dishes, plus all the chametz that's put away. Because if you sell the dishes, says the Pischei Tshuva, you're going to have to tovel all your dishes after Pesach. Because they were owned by a non-Jew. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Pischei Tshuva says in Source 27, Ulefizeh, Kishamocher hayoris l'ovid kochavim be'erev Pesach, misham chametz, when you sell the cauldrons, Shetzorach tefillah achar Pesach, you'll need tefillah, l'chein mutav shalom achram, don't sell them. Don't sell them, and that's why on the sheets, if somebody writes that, I'm selling my whole kitchen. No, you're not selling your whole kitchen. Sell the chametz in your kitchen. Sell the chametz that's on the plates in the cabinet. But the actual kalim are not sold. What if somebody did it? So, Aruch HaShulchan says you can be makel, because we know that it wasn't a real sale. It was a real sale, but you know you're gonna get it back. We try to have our cake and eat it too. We try to have the best of both worlds. But really, we try not to sell the kale. Okay, that is all part one. Let's do a little bit more in the next section, part two, and that's the next packet, types of utensils. Let's at least do a couple of materials, and then we will continue next time. Types of utensils that require tevila. I already have packet two. Metal. All metals require tevila. The Torah, as we saw back in on the first source of the other packet, the Torah lists off six metals. So all those metals require tevila. What about aluminum? Aluminum is not in the Torah. So why? Hashem didn't know there was an aluminum. Hashem knew there was going to be aluminum that was discovered. Rav Moshe discusses this in a tshuva. I just gave it to you. You can look at it after. We're not going to read it now. In source number one, where Moshe has a discussion. This is in 1972. Right, this is when and he has a tshuva about a kohen going on an airplane. Going on an airplane, if it goes over a cemetery, or let's say there's an aron on the plane, right? There's kimat. So a statistic recently, a kimat. I think 80% of LL airplanes have an aron on it. 80%. So I think there's like one plane every day that for sure doesn't. So a certain kohen, they want to be nizar, you know, could go on that. But I think Meikar Adin, you know, they put in a separate compartment with certain types of surroundings, so it's not makabel tuma. But he has a tshuva about that, about the different types of metals. It's only six, so only these six are makabel tuma. Are these the only six real metals in the world? And what about aluminum, something that's not in the Torah? Either way, all metal we paskin is mechuyav in tevila, as long as we're going to get to disposable next week. But metal that's not disposable, any type of metal, one has to tovel. I mean, what is a kli seuda? Also, that's next week. But metal, yes. Wood and stone do not have to be toveled. Wood and stone do not have to be toveled. The Shulchan Aruch talks about a case. What if you have a wooden kli with metal handles? Let's say you'll have wooden spoons, like for a salad, with metal tips on the handles. So the Shulchan Aruch says it does not require tevila. Source number two, because it's basically a wooden kli. And wood does not require. Kli eish lo chashukim shel barzel mi bachutz shema midin oso. If it has wood, if it's a wood, that it has some copper iron on the edges, ain't oto in tevila. It does not require tevila. Because the metal doesn't touch the food. The metal's on the edge. If the metal it goes down, it's not just on the tips, on the edge. What if the, let's say, just the bottom is wood, but the whole stem of the spoon is metal? Let's say you use it for a salad, to stir a salad. So like a bunch of it touches the food. Then I would tovel it. Then it would be kard tefila. If the metal part touches the food, so then one would tovel, at least without a bracha. If the ikker part of it is wood, but parts of it that touch the food are metal, so then at least without a bracha, one should tovel it. So metal, yes. Wood and stone, no. Stone includes stoneware. Right? Stoneware, the heavy plates, that if it's stoneware, does not require tevila. Does not require tevila. Glass. Glass is for sure midrabanan. It's not, even if you want to say the other materials are biblical, are d'oraisa, glass is for sure d'rabanan. Why is it d'rabanan? Because the Gemara says glass is a mixture of, we don't know how to treat glass. Because on the one hand, it comes from sand. And sand, dirt, earthenware, that's not called a kli. You don't have to tovel pottery. Right? That comes from dirt. That's cheres, as we'll get to, earthenware. But on the other hand, glass is something that's hardened, and it has certain a character to it that's like metal. If it breaks, maybe you could put it back together, unlike pottery, where just you have to put it back in the kiln to get it back together. So that's why glass in the Gemara has properties, a little bit of metal, a little bit of earthenware. For our, that's why it's not a din d'oraisa, it's a din d'rabanan, it's rabbinic. But it's for sure there. Glass has a chiyuv tevila. It has an obligation, and you make a bracha. That's misconception number two. You make a bracha on glass. You make a bracha on Mrs. Drabanan. We're going to light Hanukkah candles in a week from Tuesday night. Right? Not too long. Right? So Mrs. Drabanan, you make a bracha. You make a bracha on glass. Yeah. Why? You don't tell somebody, well, glass is glass. It's a mitzvah. That's not a safek. It's not a safek. It's a vadai. It's a vadai. It's a vadai. You tovel glass, you do it with a bracha. Do it with a bracha. There, and again, glass includes all types of glass, Pyrex, Duralex, all of those, many of those Lexes, are glass. Since it is Durabanan, there are some coolas. What kind of coolas? So it has come up. So I didn't think this halacha would ever come up, but I remember 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago, I remember I got a call from one of my Talmidim. They were in Utah on a ski trip. So they say, Rebbe, you know, we just bought a pot. You know, going to make something here, so we have to tovel it. Can we tovel it in the snow? We tovel it in the snow. There's no mikvah around there. So they wanted to tovel it in the snow. So I don't know, let me look it up. So I went to look it up. Where's the Pischei Tshuva? Where is the Pischei Tshuva? I gave it to you in source number 6. There are earlier sources spoke about, the nature of glass. Pischei Tshuva in source number 6 says, B'shas HaTzchach, where you don't have a mikvah, you could tovel in snow glass, because glass is only drabanan. But metals, you can't tovel in glass. Tovel in snow. Because, you need a lot of snow together. I have the shear here, I wrote it down. Rabbi Heinemann says, you need 240 cubic feet of snow joined together. Exactly how much that, maybe you have that in Utah. But again, it's a lot of snow together, but physically Jewish says Yish L'Hakka. Remember, I called Rabbi Willick the next day. I went to Rabbi Willick to ask him, like, what are we paskin? I said, can you tovel in snow? He said, the Pischei Tshuva! Throw a glass, throw a banan. I said, he knew that right there. So that's one cooler we have by glass. In the snow, if it ever comes up. So in this case, it didn't work, because they bought a pot. It was metal. So, sorry, they couldn't use it. Metal, yes. Wood and stone, no. Glass, yes. Plastic, we paskin, no. Plastic does not require tefillah. Are some a minority of poskim? Minority of poskim that say maybe yes, but we paskin that plastic does not. It does not have the status of a kli. It does not have the status of a kli. That's in source number 7. There's a whole sefer tefillas kalim. So he has a note about that. Plastic does not require tevila. What about Corel and Corningware? Corel and Corningware, which is the white bowls, so the oven friendly bowls. So it's not the thin ones. That's like the cereal bowls, which is the Pyrex and Duralex. That all is for sure glass. And that according to many, you tovel with a bracha. All those laxes, because that has the din of glass. But these, the Corel and the Corningware, that is a suffix. in what should you do? So it seems like maybe you should tovel them without a bracha. Without a bracha. Rabbi Teitz is quoted, and Rabbi Willig both say, to tovel those, the Corningware and the Karel, without a bracha. Because it has properties of glass. We're not sure if it's glass or stoneware. So therefore, tovel it without a bracha. The last point for tonight, China. So, Me'ikur Hadin, China does not have to be toveled. China has the status of cheres, earthenware, and earthenware does not have to be toveled. And the big shaila is, what about glazed? All our China is glazed. It's glazed with like a glassy type of layer. And if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 8, 100 years ago, he lived at the turn of the 1900s, he says, we have a big, thick layer of glaze, and it becomes like glass. But this is a major machlokus. My poskim, my rebbeim, have said that glaze does not change it. Rabbi Schechter says that glaze does not change it. Many poskim say that glaze, just because it's glazed with a thin, our glaze is very thin also. Very thin, not what it was 100 years ago. So it's a thin layer of glaze. It still is not enough to make a glass, and therefore no tevila is required. If you look on the Star K website, Rabbi Heinemann says you should do it without a bracha. So if somebody follows Rabbi Heinemann, he should do that. But again, there are Yesh Mi'amal Lismoch, those poskim that say that China doesn't lose its shame, China, even though it's glazed, and therefore one does not have to tovel China, even if it's glazed, which is most of our China. Yeah. Right, if it's China, it's China. Right, then it would
the silverware.
Right, so soup is still a problem. Right, buddy. Plastic. Right, or just right. You can't like get there a Haaretz. Yeah.
What if they have dishes that could go straight in the oven?
If you have dishes that could go straight in the oven,
yeah.
So what do you mean? We didn't get to how to define a clay seuda. We're gonna have pots or clay seuda, as we'll see. Clay seuda does not have to mean stuff that comes to the table. Oven to table dishes. They're like those white dishes, right? What are they called again? The Corel Corningwares. So that's all with without a bracha. You have to tovel them without a bracha. Tovel them without a bracha. Ceramic is like pottery. That's not. That's like cheres. If you go in the, so we'll have to see. What is it? If it's cheres, if it has the status of cheres, so then it's done, like a mug. A mug does not have to be toveled. Because a mug is a... Sorry? Either way, okay, so this is what we have left. We're going to stop in this section. So we have a few more issues within types of dishes. Disposable, bottles, cans, electric utensils. And then we'll get to how to define clay suda. Okay, Hashem, next week, 8:30, Sunday night again. Part 2, we'll finish it up. May Iker Hadin, but you have the coolers there too. You can use it as regular glass.